Being a private investigator means two things. You can be sure you'll run into trouble, and you can never be sure you'll get out of it. Not much you can do about it, I guess, except, like Julie always says,
walk softly, Peter Troy.
And now, Peter Troy investigates the loves of Lois Denver.
I've often remarked about the way women seem to love money. And according to my secretary, Julie, this is very unfair, since dolls are very soft-hearted and affectionate people. Well, so she says. Be that as it may, I have, in my time, come across some very grasping girls who just about cut anybody's throat to get their hands on the root of all evil. It was largely in this frame of mind that I tackled the case of Lois Denver. For it seemed to me that Mrs. Denver was a classic money lover. I was going to say money grubber, but she didn't have to grub around for the stuff like the rest of us. She had a shortcut.
Well, dear, I'd better be off then.
You will be careful, won't you, Tom? I hate you driving all that way alone. You'll be all of 12 hours at the wheel.
Oh, time will go quickly enough. Besides, I won't be alone all the time. That road is alive with hitchhikers. I'm bound to pick up some congenial soul to talk to.
A hitchhiker? Oh, yes.
Besides, you shouldn't be worrying about me. I'm worth more dead than alive, you know.
Don't say that.
Well, it's true. The business hasn't been good over the past 12 months, and I know how you hate cutting down on expenses at home.
Of course I hate it, but it can't be helped.
Pity we can't collect some of that $100,000 I'm insured for. That would set us on our feet.
That's no way to talk, Tom. I can't have you and the money as well.
Well, that's what I mean. So why worry about the possibility of my having an accident on this drive?
Oh, Tom, really?
I was only kidding, darling. Don't worry, I'll be okay.
You'll be back the day after tomorrow, is that right?
Yes, that's right, darling, day after tomorrow. Wish me luck on this deal. It should help us a lot.
Yes, of course. Goodbye, Tom.
Well, that was the ever-loving Lois Denver saying goodbye to her ever-loving husband. 2 hours and some 60 miles later, his car went off the road, burst into flames, and incinerated the unfortunate Tom Denver, making his widow the prospective recipient of £100,000 in insurance money. Very nice for Lois. Not so nice for the insurance company, who were, as it happened, feeling a bit miserable about the whole deal. Hi, beautiful. You're looking lovely.
Thank you for the compliment, Mr. Troy, but you really shouldn't, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought my secretary would be here.
She just slipped downstairs for some coffee. You must have walked right past her.
Oh, she'll never forgive me for that.
My name's Harris, Mr. Troy. I have an appointment.
Harris? Oh, the insurance thing. Well, let's go into my office, huh?
Oh, there you are, Pete. What a snob you are. I waved at you from the delicatessen and you looked right through me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Julie. I was thinking, you know, concentrating.
At this hour of the morning? That's a new exercise. Like some coffee?
Yeah, thanks. Mr. Harris?
No, thank you.
Well, come on through to my office. Oh, you better bring your book in with the coffee, Julie.
Very well, Mr. Troy.
Go right ahead, Mr. Harris. Take a seat.
Thank you. You know I've come about the Thomas Denver case, I suppose.
Yeah, he was killed in an auto accident.
Well, somebody was.
How's that again?
His car went off the road and burst into flames. Naturally, the body in the car couldn't be recognized.
Mm-hmm.
But you people think it might not have been Thomas Denver, huh?
That's right.
Now, I guess he was heavily insured.
With us for $100,000.
Beneficiaries?
His wife, solely. Name of Lois Marjorie Denver.
Lois Denver. Lois Denver. Yeah, I've heard of her somewhere.
Well, you should have. She's been in the social pages of the newspapers often enough. Here's your coffee.
Oh, thanks, honey. Lois Denver. So that's where I've seen the name, huh?
She used to entertain a lot. Always at or giving parties. Not so much in the last 6 months, though.
Oh, why is that?
It could be because Denver's business hasn't been making so much money lately.
What kind of business?
Metal products.
He owns it?
He had a partner, Alan Clark.
clerk, eh? Does he figure in your picture at all?
Not really. He has nothing to do with insurance, which, as I say, all goes to Mrs. Denver.
If you pay it.
Yes. If we pay it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Harris, what do you want me to do?
Well, the police are checking the identity of the body found in the car. If, as we think will happen, they find it wasn't Denver, then some kind of a swindle has been pulled.
Obviously. So?
We want you to get into the act and watch our interests.
Well, it sounds as if the police will be doing that pretty effectively. I mean, if the body isn't Denver's, then you don't pay.
We want to take it further than that. If somebody's tried to swindle us, we don't want them to get away with trying. Too much encouragement to others to have a go, you know.
Yeah, I get it. Okay, do I start now, or do you want me to wait for the police identification?
Start as soon as you like. If there's anything you think you can do.
Mm-hmm. Julie, get some names and addresses from Mr. Harris, will you? Mrs. Denver, Alan Clark, and so on. Then we'll do a little nosing around and see if we can't take the insurance company for a nice fat fee.
Troy, it's quite extraordinary, the number of cases I get handed, only to find I've got to cope with you as well.
Oh, it's depressing, isn't it, Inspector? You know, I was always saying the same thing to Julie a while back. I don't find you that bad, really. About this Denver case, Inspector.
What about it?
When do you expect to make a positive identification of the body?
We know sometime today whether it was Denver or not.
Mm-hmm.
The lab is checking his dental work with his dentist. But as for positive identification, that's another matter.
Oh, sure. You mean if it isn't Denver, which it probably won't be, you won't know who it is.
Exactly.
Harris, the insurance guy, tells me that one thing that worried them is that Denver was seen to pick up a hitchhiker.
Yeah, that's right. About 5 miles back down the road.
Then what happened to him?
That's what we're wondering. And presumably, that's what the insurance company is wondering, too.
Yeah, they think the body in the car might have been that of the hitchhiker?
Yeah, something like that, Troy.
Hmm. Well, okay, let's look at that line for a moment. If the body in the burned-out car wasn't Denver, then it looks as though Denver killed a hitchhiker and put his body in the car, crashed it, and then set it on fire.
And gone into hiding somewhere.
Until such time as his wife collects the insurance, whereupon he and she will beat it out of London. Probably overseas someplace.
Yeah. Now, that's what it all sounds like at present.
Just like a detective story.
Troy, just where do you fit in?
Me? Oh, I'm just making like Perry Mason.
Oh, you're working for the insurance company, eh?
That's it.
A little premature, aren't they? I mean, we haven't made sure about the body, eh?
The insurance company smells a rat, Inspector. And as you know, insurance people are pretty good rat smellers.
Yes, I suppose so. Oh, well, I'll let you know as soon as the lab report comes in. You'll be at your office, I suppose.
No, I'm picking Julie up, and we're going to visit Mrs. Denver. Try me there.
I don't get it, Pete. What's the point of our seeing Mrs. Denver at this stage?
Well, I'd just like to get a line on the type of person she is.
Mm.
Say, you'd think somebody would answer the door. I pressed the bell twice.
Oh, I think I can see somebody coming now. Through the glass there.
Oh, good. It's about time.
Yes?
Mrs. Denver?
That's right.
My name's Troy, Mrs. Denver. I'm a private investigator. This is my secretary, Miss Summers. Oh, my card?
Peter Troy, private investigator.
I'm working for the insurance company that your husband...
Oh, shouldn't you say my late husband, Mr. Troy?
Maybe. Do you mind if we come in, Mrs. Denver?
Oh, not at all. Please do. I'm sorry I took so long answering the door. I don't have a butler now, and it's hard to remember that I have to answer the door myself when the housekeeper is busy upstairs.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Oh, this way. We'll go into the morning room.
A charming home you have, Mrs. Denver.
Tom and I like it. That is, we did.
Yeah, sure. Mrs. Denver, as you know, your husband was insured for a very large sum of money.
£100,000, wasn't it?
That's right. Now, before paying out money of that kind, companies like to be sure that they're not being taken.
Taken? I don't think I understand.
Well, Mrs. Denver, insurance swindles or attempts at swindles are pretty common.
Swindles? Mr. Troy, I resent that suggestion. Are you trying to tell me
I'm not trying to tell you that you've swindled the company, if that's what you're thinking. But it has been done by other people, and naturally the companies get rather wary.
The insurance man who came to see me said that all they wanted was positive identification of my husband's body.
Oh, that's true. But what I'm asking you to consider is what happens if your husband's body is not the one in that car.
What? But of course it must be. It was his car. He was driving it.
Well, he was when he left you.
Mr. Troy, I'm sure I have no idea what all this is about, but I find it very distasteful.
So do I, ma'am, so do I, but it's necessary.
I refuse to discuss it any further with you. You have no right to come in here insinuating that somehow my husband and I are swindling the insurance company.
Well, I'm sure Mr. Troy wasn't insinuating anything, Mrs. Denver. But sometimes it's better to be blunt about these things in order to get them over and done with.
I see.
I may as well come right to the point, Mrs. Denver, seeing that Miss Summers has more or less paved the way.
Please do.
The fact is, your husband was seen to pick up a hitchhiker only a few miles from where the accident occurred. Police attempts to find that hitchhiker have failed. Nobody has any idea what happened to him.
I still don't see...
The insurance company has to think of the possibility that the man in the car was the hitchhiker, and that your husband is at this moment alive and well.
But then how... Wait a minute. That would mean that my husband is not only a swindler, but also a murderer.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
How dare you? I've never been so affronted in all my life.
Oh, do you mind if I answer that, Mrs. Denver? I have an idea it's for me. Hello? Yes, Peter Troy speaking. Oh, yeah, Inspector. You have? Swell. What's the verdict? What? You're sure? Yeah, I see. Well, thanks for calling. Hey, what's that? Oh, sure, I'll tell him. So long. Mrs. Denver, I owe you an apology. The police have definitely identified the body in the burnt-out car as that of Thomas Denver, your husband. The way it goes. Sometimes you stick your neck out with some theory you have, and up jumps the devil to beat another hole in your hand. I played a hunch that Mrs. Denver was in on an insurance swindle with her husband, only to find that her husband had really been killed in that accident. And in playing that hunch, I made myself pretty objectionable to the good lady, which is the thing you sometimes have to do to get at the truth. However, when the truth is something you didn't figure on, and you blow the whole play, then all you can do is withdraw gracefully, if you have any grace left. So, Julie and I decamped and headed back to the office.
Well, did you goof, Peter, or did you?
Yeah, Julie, I know. You don't have to rub it in.
I'm just glad it's the insurance company and not Mrs. Denver we have to charge for this. She'd be just as likely to pay you off in poison.
Yeah. Oh, I was so sure she was in on that swindle.
You don't even know that there was a swindle.
No. Well, sure enough, doesn't look like it. A guy is insured... He takes off in his car and piles it up.
And dies in the wreck. Well, he'd have to love his wife an awful lot to go to all that trouble for her.
Yeah, and Lois Denver didn't strike me as the kind of woman to inspire that kind of love.
Oh, well, apparently she and her husband got along all right.
Yeah, so they tell me. Well, that cold, aloof air of hers would shrivel up any love I had for her.
But you weren't married to her. And you weren't around when she was alone with her husband.
Julie, I do believe you have a point there.
I do?
Yeah, I was definitely not around when she was alone with her husband.
Oh, for a minute I thought you meant I'd hit on something.
Maybe there's nothing to hit on. Maybe this is just a genuine insurance payoff coming up. Well, let's face it, there are genuine cases.
But you're not satisfied, are you?
Now, why did you say that?
Oh, Pete, I've been around you for quite a while. I know when something's bugging you, as you would say.
Smart girl. You're right.
Well, come on, let's have it.
Well, I don't know exactly, Julie. But I'd say that Lois Denver is the kind of woman who doesn't like to be without money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe she did love her husband. But she also loves a fat bank account.
Which he didn't have.
So we hear. Julie, I hate to be wrong in a hunch. It does terrible things to my ego.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like giving me a little more rope so I can hang myself properly?
Well, I'd say you'd taken plenty already. But far be it for me to spoil the ship for a halfpenny of tar.
Oh, tar, ships, rope. We're building ourselves quite a fleet of metaphors. Well, here's the pitch. You go dig the dirt on Lois Denver. It takes a woman to do that to another woman.
You say only the nicest things. What are you going to do?
Drop in on Denver's office. See if there's anyone there who's prepared to say anything out of turn.
As I say, Mr. Troy, I was not only Tom Danvers' partner, but his friend, his very good friend. His death has naturally hit me pretty hard.
Yeah, that's understandable, Mr. Clark.
Tom was very much the mainstay of this business. Without him, I don't know how we're going to carry on. I may have to finish up by selling out.
Yeah, I see. Tell me, Mr. Clark, do you know Mrs. Denver?
Yes, of course.
You always got along with her okay?
Very well. Again, we've always been good friends.
Well, you saw her socially. I mean, did you and your wife...
I'm not married, Mr. Troy.
Oh.
And actually, although I was friendly with Mrs. Denver, I didn't see all that much of her socially.
Why not?
Well, it's not a thing you can really ask. Why not, too? Tom just didn't see fit to invite me to many of his parties and so on.
Oh, Denver didn't like you.
Of course he liked me. I told you, we were good friends, but a man's social life is something different again.
You mean he didn't think you were good enough for him and his wife?
I don't mean any such thing. Really, Troy, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, I can only assume it's because you're not English.
Maybe. But then, maybe, I do understand. Look, I'm sorry if I've been behaving like a brash Canadian, Mr. Clark. It's just part of my job to ask embarrassing questions, you know.
I suppose so.
Well, thanks for seeing me. It's good of you to give me so much of your time.
Not at all.
Oh, don't bother to see me out. I can find my way through your general office, I guess.
Very well, Mr. Troy. Don't hesitate to get in touch with me again if I can be of any further help.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, hey. Pete. I was just coming in to pick you up.
Oh, hi, honey. Did you find anything?
Oh, no, not much.
Anyway, let's get out of here first. Well, the elevator's along this way, I seem to recall. What about Lois Denver, honey?
Well, she does appear to like money, all right.
Well, we've had that bit. I mean, is there any scandal, boyfriends, that sort of thing?
Not exactly. But lately, since her husband's death, she has been seen in public a couple of times with a man.
What man?
A man named Alan Clark. Hey, haven't I heard that name before?
You sure have. Harris gave it to us. Alan Clark is Tom Denver's partner and the guy I've just been talking to. And about that, there is something odd.
How?
Tom Denver was friendly with Clark, but didn't exactly give him the run of his house. But as soon as Denver's dead, Clark is squiring his widow.
If you'll take my advice, Troy, you'll just report formally to the insurance company that everything appears to be in order. It's a perfectly straightforward case now.
You mean because Denver's body was in the car, Inspector?
Yes, exactly. I can tell you the police are no longer interested.
That's no help. If I interested myself only in cases that the police were working on, I'd be broke in a month.
Look, I don't see what you're after. Denver was insured. He was killed in an accident. His wife is entitled to the insurance money.
Yeah, that's the way it looks.
Well, then?
I don't know, but... Inspector, I don't feel right.
And it's a reason to see your doctor, not to go on beating your head against a brick wall over nothing.
I'm just not sure that it is nothing.
Well, I am. And as you can see, my desk is piled a foot high with unfinished business. So if you don't mind...
Are you satisfied about that hitchhiker?
I have three reports to make out before... What was that?
The hitchhiker Denver picked up shortly before the so-called accident. What happened to him?
Well, he... Well, he must have set him down again.
After taking him only a couple of miles. Inspector, there are no crossroads or turnoffs between the spot where he picked him up and the scene of the accident. Now, why would he set him down on that stretch of road?
No idea. But that's what he must have done.
You think so?
Oh, hang it all, Troy. You're messing up a perfectly neat case.
But?
No, I've got to admit there's something in what you say, which means we'll have to look into it, I suppose.
Well, I may save you some trouble. You mind if I use your phone?
I mind very much. That phone is for departmental business only.
Good. Thanks, Inspector.
What is all this, Troy? I came as soon as I got your phone call, but I can't imagine what can be so urgent.
Sit down, Mr. Clark. Sorry I had to keep you waiting. I wasn't in my own office when I called you.
So your secretary out there said?
I was with Inspector Caswell at police headquarters.
Oh?
Yeah. And you may as well know, Mr. Clark, the police have come up with some very interesting new evidence. I thought that you, being Denver's business partner, had a right to know about it.
Evidence? What do you mean?
The police are convinced that Denver didn't die by accident at all.
What? Of course he died by accident. Are they suggesting he killed himself?
Well, they don't know yet. But there are some very odd circumstances surrounding that car crash.
Odd circumstances? Now, see here, Mr. Troy, I feel it's time I put in a protest about what's going on. I mean, it's nothing personal to me, really, but do you realize what a strain all this prolonged investigation is placing on Lois?
A Lois Denver? Well, yes, I guess it is a bit tiresome for her, having to wait for her money like this.
Tiresome? It's unnerving. Why, it's almost as though she's on trial or something.
On trial? Oh, come
not
now.
Only the police and all their questioning, but also you and the insurance company. It's hardly fair.
It's hardly fair for the company to have to pay out money when the circumstances are very odd, Mr. Clark.
Just what do you mean, odd?
Well, for instance, the ignition in Denver's car was switched off.
It couldn't have been. I mean, I...
Yeah? You mean you made sure it was on? Is that what you were going to say, Clark?
Don't be ridiculous. How could I do anything when I wasn't there? If you're
trying... But you were there, Clark. You were the hitchhiker Denver picked up, weren't you? In fact, you made sure you would be because Lois Denver told you what time he'd be traveling that road.
You're mad.
You pushed a gun on him, forced him to drive along the road a bit, knocked him out, and then faked the accident.
You have quite an imagination, Troy. But you don't have any evidence.
We'll have plenty when the police have finished with Lois Denver.
Lois?
They're questioning her now.
What?
I think I'll just call Inspector Caswell
don't
and...
Don't touch that phone, Troy. Put up your hands.
Oh, come now, Clark. Just put that thing away.
I warn you, I'll shoot. Don't try any of your detective tricks.
I already have. You see, the police haven't found any further evidence about the accident. And they are not questioning Mrs. Denver.
What?
You've put your own head in the noose, Clark. I don't have to do anything now. I'll just take a seat on the edge of my desk here and watch you go on making a fool of yourself.
You dirty trickster. You've ruined everything. You fooled me.
You back for me, Mr. Troy?
I'll take the gun, Clark. You can have this.
Pete, what's happened?
Oh, well, see for yourself, honey. As to how it happened, well, I just sat on the button of your buzzer and hoped it wouldn't take you half an hour to answer it, as it usually does.
Oh, really? Well, you might fancy yourself as a big, tough private investigator, but if you're going to start saying I'm not an efficient secretary, you'd better walk softly, Peter Troy.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service. Thank you.